Hey there, everybody. It is Wednesday, June 13th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm your host, Ken Schneck. As always, you can get in touch with us by sending an email on over to ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to learn all about the fun things happening with our dog and pony little gay radio show. And of course, go to the Facebook. You have an account. We know you do. Type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. What a fun show for you this week. Hey, first guest, are you ready to go?
I'm so ready to go.
Let me introduce you. Athena Reich is an award-winning singer, songwriter, actress, TV personality, Lady Gaga impersonator, which we will talk about, and music and acting coach. She hasn't been on the show in oh so long. Athena, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you. It's fabulous to be back.
Do you know how long it's been? I had to look it up.
No, I'm guessing a year.
Thanksgiving 2010.
Whoa.
I know. You guys were preparing Thanksgiving dinner and you took time out and we chatted. That's too long ago.
That is crazy.
So, you know, what have you done since then?
Oh, I remember. You interviewed, my girlfriend got on, you interviewed her a little bit.
Yes.
She's a veterinarian at the ASPCA.
She is. And she had fun being on the show.
She did. She was really cute.
Yeah, she was really. And she still is, isn't she?
Yes. I just mean she was cute on the show. She's definitely cute. She gets shy, but she likes it too.
Has she been on other radio shows since then?
No, but I pull her to like red carpet events and things like that, and we get, you know, certain events. I pull her kicking and screaming into the media, and she loves it.
But I'd like to say that This Show Is So Gay is really her main radio show appearance.
Yeah, this was where it all started.
Love it. Love it. All right, we have so much to catch up on because it's been so long. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Do you know, we have not, in your two previous appearances on the show, we have not talked about Lady Gaga at all.
I don't even think that I had really, I just was starting to do it the last time we talked.
Well, tell me and tell everyone what do it actually even means for you. Because I said it very briefly in your intro, but what is it, what is your connection to Lady Gaga? What do you do?
Well, I'm a singer-songwriter and an actress, and I've been doing that, and I have a large web presence. If you Google me on, you know, in Google, or if you search me in YouTube, you know, you'll find that I'm everywhere. And so what happened is, some people started emailing me. It was actually in the fall of 2011. This woman emailed me from Professionals in the City, which is a large organization, and they said, we're throwing together a big New Year's Eve gala. There's going to be like 3,000 people there. We're looking for a Lady Gaga impersonator, and we can't find one that's a good singer. You are a great singer, and you kind of look like her. Could you be Lady Gaga for our event?
Huh.
And I was like, I don't know, how much you paying, you know? And I was like, okay, now we're talking. Yes, I can be Lady Gaga. So I just immersed my, I just basically heard her stuff on the radio. I was not a big fan. I wasn't against her, but I just like was like, okay, you know, and then I was just, so then I had to like listen to all this Gaga music. I just watch her videos and learn the choreography. I like sewed myself a bubble dress. I had to get costumes and wigs and put together this huge show. I was the main attraction at the event. There's 3,000 people there at the Washington Hilton in Washington, D.C. It was great. We filmed it. We put it on YouTube. And from there, people just contact me constantly. And it's just because, like, I made this video, and I guess when I put on a wig, I look like her, and I have so much fun being her. It's just like I'm a lesbian drag queen.
I love it. I love it. Now, had anybody told you you looked like Lady Gaga before?
No, but since people still do, like, I still have gotten a few emails from people who had no idea I was Lady Gaga, and they emailed me and they said, you know, have you ever thought of being a Lady Gaga impersonator? You kind of look like her. You kind of sound like her. And I'm like, actually, I have a Lady Gaga website. Here it is. Like, so people still cast me as her. Like, just random people are like, you could be Lady Gaga, you know? So it's just something about my jawline or something. I don't know.
So, all right. So you watch these first videos and you're thinking about transforming yourself into Lady Gaga. What does it mean to become Lady Gaga?
Well, the first thing I did was just, like, listen to her album, and I decided on 9 songs. They wanted, like, three-song sets. So I had to do, like, 9 songs throughout the evening. I decided on 9 songs, which was hard because I didn't even, like, It was 2011. I didn't even, she was just breaking really big. And I don't even know. But I just figured it out. And I just, the first thing I did was I just learned her, her songs. And I just looked at, I just Googled images of her and I settled on, but I was like, I'm not going to do the meat dress. It's too controversial. And
right.
But I was like, I found pictures of her doing the bubble dress and I was like, I could do that. And I just did a lot of like how to make a bubble dress and Googling, and it was a lot of work. Like
I think it would be a ton of work.
It was a ton of work. I mean, now it's easier because now there's a lot of, there's a lot more Gaga impersonators. So like you could just copy them or whatever. But like at the time I was doing it, there was like just one other impersonator really. And so like, you know, who had one look, you know, I mean, it was just starting the impersonator thing with Gaga. So it was a ton of work. And the whole time I was doing it, I'm like, what am I doing? You know, my piano teacher is like, why are you doing this? This isn't your own music. And I'm like, I don't know, but they're paying me really well. So it feels like I can't say no to it. You know, like, he's like, but how is it going to lead? How is it going to further your career? And I'm like, I don't know, but I can't, like, when have people offered to pay me this much? It's so rare. So I just like did it, and then I've just been getting so many gigs since then, all of them well paid. I have so much fun being her because like I always wanted to be like a big pop star and you know, just have like people dancing along to my music and just like to be known and to like just be having a blast. But when you're pushing your own original music and when you don't have the luck of having been signed by a major label or you're not born into a rich family, but you don't have the $1 million marketing behind you, it's just really hard. You're always like climbing uphill with your music because you, you perform it and people are just like listening, but they're not like screaming along to it. And so when like the music comes out and I start singing this Gaga, everyone's immediately screaming and it's like so much fun. Like I just did Jersey Pride last weekend and like, you know, I was introduced as Lady Gaga and people really thought I was her. They rushed the stage. I mean, it was like ridiculous. It was just so fun. And then afterwards I just like took off my wig and I was like, I'm really Athena Reich and here's an original song. And I sang Love is Love, my original song, and they loved it. And like, it was funny because still people came up to me afterwards and they were like, are you really Lady Gaga? I was like, no. Remember when I pulled off my wig and I said I was Athena Reich? And they still like couldn't get over it because they just thought, well, maybe this is Lady Gaga being like crazy. You know?
Can I just say, how awesome would it be if we went to Entertainment Weekly right now, you know, went online and there was a headline that says Lady Gaga covers Athena Reich song.
I know. That'd be amazing. I know. Well, I like to say as Lady Gaga, I'm like this artist. She's like, I really like to support. She's a struggling artist. She isn't like broken yet, but you know, I really like to support the arts and like, you guys should really check her out. You know, I really like to endorse myself as Lady Gaga.
Well, now I'm a big RuPaul's Drag Race fan. I enjoy the show immensely. And on at least two of the seasons when they have their, they call it the Celebrity Snatch Game, they've had two of the contestants on RuPaul's Drag Race have tried to be Lady Gaga. And in both instances, RuPaul said, well, you know, what are you going to do to be Lady Gaga? And it's really difficult. And in both instances, they failed miserably. Like it wasn't that engaging. And RuPaul tried to warn them. I don't think you can be on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Damn it. I have to get a sex change now. What do I have to do for this industry?
But what would you recommend? Because you've been successful at being Lady Gaga. What would you tell people?
It's best if you have talent.
There you go. That's a start.
I mean, it's like, first of all, I play piano and I sing. So I like play piano, you know, and sing like her. I mean, I don't know what to say except to say that like her and I are cut from a similar cloth. It's like, it's very easy for me to be her. Our vocal range is very similar. Our vocal tone is similar. Like I play piano. I mean, if you Google Stephanie Germanotta before she got famous, and you look at like her playing at the Bitter End, and then you basically look at like videos of me playing at the Bitter End, you're like, oh, they're like very similar. So like basically before she got her major label deal and like reconstructed her new persona, and she was just like a struggling singer-songwriter, I mean, her music is pretty similar to mine.
And you've played at some really fun places, I'm reading. I mean, you've done weddings. But what is this? I'm reading about a bus driver gala.
Oh, that was just last weekend. Like, it was just a bus driver who was retiring in Staten Island. It was like, it was just like a big event. I mean, there was like, I don't know, 100, 200 people there. And
Someone called you. Wait, let's walk through this, Athena. Someone called you and they said, or emailed you and said, we want you to be Lady Gaga. And you naturally said, well, where? For what event? And they said, oh yeah, a bus driver's, retiring.
Yeah, well, actually, it was like somebody, it was a lesbian who like emailed me on Facebook. It was actually through the Lesbian Grapevine. So that was like a lesbian booking, which is really great. But it was cool though, because she kind of, well, she found me because this lesbian who impersonates Liza Minnelli. So like she knew her.
Oh, okay.
She's like, you know, a Gaga. And then the lesbian Liza was like, yeah, I know a lesbian Gaga, whatever. Not that it had to be lesbian, but it just worked out that way. So that's how I got it. And then they called me and we talked about it and it was great. I mean, because it was like a good person. He was really emotional. Like as Gaga, I was like, you know, I'm from New York City and thank you for your 33 years of service.
Oh, you're so good.
You know, and like, he was like, he had like tears in his eyes and like I had him up dancing with me and then like I got everybody up dancing and like, it was like really emotional. Like I was just like, you know, like, thank you. I love this city. And like, I hope to be in show business for 33 years. Like you're an inspiration.
Oh.
You know, and it was like really sweet. So like, I love doing like all kinds of like, whether it's like, you know, like a small like party like that or like I've done bridal showers.
I've done it.
You know, I did like this big gay wedding in Boston. It was huge. It was like this guy who's marrying this guy like 30 years younger than him. And it was the whole thing like, it was like this beautiful rock concert, crazy thing. And that was like, I have backup dancers. Now I employ, you know, I hire dancers and we have rehearsals. I had auditions and I'm able to like actually create jobs for other artists. And I've learned to be like, how to be a boss, which has been like a whole learning curve.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a thing.
That's really huge. And I finally like figured it out now. So it's good. And I have good people and I have really good dancers now. And so like for the big shows, we have backup dancers, like multiple costume changes. You know, it's really fun. I just get to be a pop star.
I love this. Well, as I told you before the show, I just got back from China and I have to say, I have no doubt you could get gigs there in China because when our American cohort of 18 went out to karaoke, which my God, is it a competitive sport there, with a group of 10 Chinese students, the thing that brought us together in karaoke, Lady Gaga.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Oh, my gosh, you would not believe how my students and those students, Lady Gaga, bringing together this world.
Wow.
So we can get you bookings in China.
Yes, I need to go to China.
You need to go to, don't tell your partner that came from me, please.
No, I know. Poor Joe.
All right, well, let's talk about Athena things. So that's okay. All the Gaga, and people can get in touch with you to be Lady Gaga.
Yes, and I travel all over, and I
love it.
Fun time.
I love it. I think that's so much fun.
I'm also doing a lot of improv comedy, which is funny because I started as an actress when I was 9 years old and I started doing improv. And I mean, when I was 12 years old, I actually did it competitively and won. Our team won Best Comedy Improv in Canada. The judge was Eugene Levy, the host was Jim
Carrey.
Wow. And Bachman played the award show. It was like huge. And so like I started in improv comedy. So I just was like, you know, I want to get back into improv. I started taking classes at the Upright Citizens Brigade, and I'm like going full force. Like tonight I'm performing at the Magnet Theater, and it's a gay, it's called There's No Place Like Home. It's like a gay improv team.
Oh,
and I'm
great.
Performing, I'm taking classes. That's a lot of fun. I have a gig coming up Friday, June 15th. So that's like, depends on when you're listening to this.
Yeah.
Out there. It's in a couple days in New York City. It's called Proud Music. I'm doing my original singer-songwriter stuff. For Pride, June 25th, I'm performing with Broadway Sings for Pride. It's when
I saw that. Yes, benefiting some great places. The Hedrick yes. Martin Institute, the LGBT Community Center of New York City, and Broadway Sings for Pride.
Yeah, and it's all like Broadway performers. Chaz Bono's gonna be there. Carla Hall's gonna be performing. Just like, and me, I'm performing, I'm debuting a new song.
Oh.
That I co-wrote with Gary Novikoff. He's an award-winning singer-songwriter. And so I have like, you know, I have the singer-songwriter gigs, I have the improv gigs. Oh, and I'm the host of a new cooking web series called The Curious Cook.
The Curious Cook. Tell everyone about that, because I saw that it was a cooking show with a gay angle, and I wasn't sure what that meant.
It is. I know. How do you cook gay?
Well, I really want to know.
We're finally winning marriage equality, you know, state by state.
Yes.
And it's time we learn to cook. So it's basically like I make cocktails and appetizers, and I invite, you know, prominent figures in the LGBTQ community as my guests. So I cook for them and I feed them. We've had Penny Arcade.
Yeah.
She's a legend. Romaine Patterson from the Derek and Romaine Show on Sirius XM.
Absolutely.
Matt Martin and Travis Conan. They're like red carpet guys. I know. We just had like tons of amazing, Jonathan Lovitz. We've had lots of amazing guests. And so we just have amazing guests and I cook for them. And so you could just Google like Athena Wright Curious Cook. You can like, you know, and we do really fun, you know, just really fun, like appetizers and cocktails. So
fun. Now I have to tell you, when you go to your website, which I don't know when you redid your website is fantastic.
Thank you. I did it myself.
You're so multi-talented. It is fantastic. Now I've known Love is Love for years. I've known it for years. The Love is Love remix, I hadn't heard before.
Yeah.
I enjoy it immensely.
Thank you.
When did you do that? Don't tell me it was a really long time ago and I'm just behind in the times.
I think I released it a year ago or a few months ago. I don't even remember.
Now, what made you want to do a remix of it?
Actually, I was a little bit inspired by Lady Gaga. I was like doing all this dance music and I'm like, I should make some like dance remixes of my songs. And so I just like collaborated with Jeremy Goddard from the Legion of Many, and we redid the Logical song, which is a cover by Supertramp.
Yeah.
That I do. And then Love is Love.
I love it. Now, what about White Collar? One of my favorite shows.
Oh yeah, that's crazy too. Yeah. So I'm an actress too, right? So so I don't know. I just like got it. I'm always auditioning and stuff for stuff, and it's just really hard to like break in.
Yeah.
It's just like it's just like luck. And I mean, it's really easy if you're like related to somebody famous or if you're like really rich, but I'm not like that. So I just have to keep working and working and working. So, I just like auditioned and I got it. So, you know, I mean, I've auditioned for a lot of things. I've auditioned for 30 Rock. I've auditioned for Law and Order. Like, I've auditioned for Boardwalk Empire, and I just happened to get the White Collar one, so I have a very small speaking role coming out in August. I mean, you're not even going to notice me.
I'm totally going to notice you. Who are you in a scene with? I will.
You're not. Because, it's like I have two lines. I'm at the very beginning of the episode. I say the lines as the camera basically pans by me very quickly. So it kind of, like, sucks. But, like, it's a huge accomplishment.
Yeah.
Like, it's something, like, that is all beyond my control. And had nothing to do with me. It had everything to do with, like, the director and Matt Bromer. And, like, he had a moment before. And so, like, they highlighted his moment. And then, like, I was just, like, among the crowd. But I'm not an extra. I had lines and it was cast and everything. But you're just going to be very hard to notice me. But I basically say something like, I can't even remember, but it's something about like, oh, he really loved the forget-me-nots. Came to the shop every morning. She came to the shop every morning. She loved the forget-me-nots. And it's at a funeral scene. I won't give away more than that. But it's a very famous person who dies.
Oh, no. Okay.
You know, famous actor.
Can we just say, for the record, he is so ridiculously attractive.
He is. He is, and he's gay.
And he's gay.
He's out. He has three children. He has a husband, and he's very hot.
Yeah, there you go. We like him. Now, let's do one more thing. Roommates' Wives.
Oh, yeah, Roommate Wives. Yes.
Roommate Wives.
Roommate Wives. So my friend Hillary Schwartz is hilarious stand-up comic and writer, comedy writer. So she's been writing this web series, and so we're co-starring in it. And, we kind of like brainstorm ideas together. And, I mean, she came up with the whole concept, but I helped with ideas for the show. And then she's the writer and, we both, you know, co-star in it and produce it together. And, our friend, Kevin Kolak directs it and films it. And it's going to be hilarious. the premise is, and I can say that because, I mean, I didn't even write it. Her writing is ridiculous. So funny. The premise is basically that, like, I'm gay and she's straight. We're roommates. We're, like, best friends. And she's just, like, freaking sick of, like, she's just going on dates and, like, she can't. She's just, like, so wants to get married, you know? And
yeah.
And, like, can't get it to work out. You know what I mean? She just, like, she goes, you know, whatever. I don't want to give stuff away. But she just basically, like, is, like, getting so fed up with dating. And she's, like, and we're so poor. We have, like, nothing. We've, like, broken the last bowl. Like, we have, like, nothing in our apartment. And she's, like, I really want, like, free stuff, you know?
Right.
So she just, like, let's get married just so we can have a wedding and I can just get, we can get stuff. And I'm like, wait, like, I can't, we're like, because we're like, it's legal now in New York. And I'm like, wait, that, like, goes against, like, well, I'm like a radical queer, my character, and I'm like against all marriage, gay or, you know, I'm like one of those gays who are like, I don't, you know, like, I'm so queer that, like, you know, I don't want gays to be like everyone else.
You're post-marriage.
Right. I'm like, you know, really like radical queer politics lesbian. But I do it because I'm like, you know what, this is such a great way to mock gay marriage. We'll have a mock gay wedding. And she just wants the free stuff. So we just basically like stage it. We have to lie to all of our friends. And like as soon as like we start doing it, then all of a sudden like guys start falling for her because they think she's a lesbian, and like all my friends start being like, you're not radical anymore, like they like ostracize me, like they're like, you're sold out to the institution, the heterosexual institution of marriage. And so like it's just like, it's just like a really brilliant concept that she came up with, and it's great.
Oh my gosh, so that's coming up. Athena, you have so much going on.
I do.
You like being busy.
I like the idea that I want to be an A-list celebrity, or like close, or D. Like I want to have options. Like I want to be, like I don't see why Kathy Griffin and Ellen, like I don't see why they have TV shows and I don't. Like I want a TV show. I want to be like Carol Burnett and have like a variety of the Athena show. And so like I want my career to keep climbing, and I want to be on, I love acting in shows. I love, you know, I want to be like, you know, I want to have options. I want directors to be calling me and to be able to be in part of amazing projects that have real budgets. And so I feel like the only way to get that is to be busy and to have a lot of pops on the stove, and then they'll boil over. But I sleep. I take naps. I have dates with my girlfriend. I'm not like crazy.
I love it. I have to tell you, I've told you this before, I'll tell you this again. You just have such a great energy, and it's such, you really do. You have such a great energy, and it galls me to no end that I've never seen you perform live, so we have to change that. I'm gonna get some local, maybe a train conductor to retire, and we'll bring you up here as Lady Gaga, and we'll make
exactly.
that work. We'll make that work. You,
like, what's the big New Year's Eve? I'm not booked for New Year's Eve yet. I mean, like, somebody has to book me. That's a big booking.
I think that's going to be China.
China.
Although New Year's isn't so big there. So we'll find something else.
Some people are talking about me in China. There is some talk about that. There's a million things happening.
I long for the day when I read on Entertainment Weekly that Lady Gaga covered one of your songs. I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, or I just like to open for her. You know what's also cool is I was on her. Did I tell you I was on her commercial?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. I was on her Google Chrome Edge of Glory commercial.
Huh.
Yeah, it was great.
So we got a link to that. Can folks see that on your website?
No, but if you Google like Athena Reich Google Chrome, you'll get to it. I'm in it for 1 second, but I got a lot of royalties. It was awesome.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm the girl playing the ukulele, singing Edge of Glory, playing the ukulele in a little short goggle wig.
How are your ukulele skills?
They're great.
Okay. Yeah. You're multi-talented. You got a lot going on. So now where can folks go to learn more about just the plethora of things that you are doing?
Well, everyone should friend me on Facebook.
Okay.
Like, I want to, right, I'm at, like, 2,500 friends, and I totally want to max out. Like, if you get to 5,000 and you're maxed out, and I don't see why I'm not maxed out at this point. So I feel like everybody should just friend me until my Facebook page explodes. So.
Now, did you have that point? Because I think I actually am right around there, same number of friends, and it still kind of is like, huh. Every time I get one of these requests, I want to say, but And thank you for listening to the show, but you know, you don't, you know, we've never met, and I don't know, I still have, I think it's every single friend request, I think is the coolest thing ever.
I know, I love it. But I have a public page and I have a private page, so I have like 1600 people on my public and I have like 2500, so like together I have like more like 3500.
Yeah, there you go.
A crossover. But like, I want more, so everybody should friend me, so I'm facebook.com/ Athena Reich, A-T-H-E-N-A-R-E-I-C-H. I'm also on Twitter, twitter.com/ Athena Reich. And my public page, where the cool thing about my public page is you can hear like so much of my music just for free. You can just like hear it. It's like facebook.com/ Athena Reich fans, like if you're, as if you're a fan of mine. But, you know, also just go to athenareich.com and there's everything there.
She created the website herself, folks.
Yeah, and then I'm on iTunes, of course. You can, like, buy my music on iTunes, which would be nice. And then I'm all over YouTube.
Love it. Now, I'm going to play the Love is Love remix, and then we're going to have time later on in the show to play another one of your songs. I'm going to let you call it. What would you like me to play?
Well, I don't know. I mean, do you want to play the Logical Song remix?
Whatever you want. This is your chance. You could highlight a song that maybe people don't know as well. It's totally up to you.
You know what? Play my cat. Have you ever played My Cat is Magical?
I have not.
Then you should play that because it's funny. It's about cats. My girlfriend's a veterinarian. I think you should play that.
All right. That's what we're going to play towards the end of the show. But for right now, we're going to play the remix of Love is Love. Athena Reich, always a pleasure. Let's not let another 2 years go by before you're back on the show.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All the best.
So fun. And China, I'm heading there. Great.
I will open for you in some way.
Okay. We should do like a This Show is So Gay / Gaga tour.
I would love it. I'm there.
Yeah. I'll just tell my girlfriend it's your fault.
Please do. Just remind her she was on the radio show. She'll understand. She knows.
She got her big break.
She knows our lives, Athena. All the best, Athena. Keep doing all of these amazing things. We look forward to so much more.
You too. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks, Athena.
Everybody, friend me on Facebook.
Everybody.
Everybody in the world. Tell me how you got to know me, and then we'll be friends. Thanks.
All the best.
Bye.
We all know love is patience. We all know love is kind. No one tells you love is crazy and can catch you from behind. They say one man, one woman, it's unnatural to love your own. But I've been with boys, I've been with girls, and been with boys, I've been with girls. Love is ruled by love alone. It's never paid by numbers, this abstract work of art. You can only find its beauty painted with your broken heart. And if you stay wide open to everything that it could be, grace you with its presence. Love don't make no guarantees. Love don't make no guarantees. Love is love, love is love, love is love.
right, folks, and we are back. Well, the Tony Awards were this past Sunday night, and as promised, here to recap all the highs and the lows and all things Tony, Tom Meiser, editor of the Broadway blog. Welcome back to the show, Sogay.
It's a pleasure to be here.
How were the Tonys?
You know, it's the usual mix with any award show, the hit or miss. Luckily, they stuck the landing because the last hour of the show was pretty darn great.
Now, I have to tell you, I feel really bad saying this. I have read up on them. I feel pretty knowledgeable. I did not see the Tony Awards.
You didn't even watch?
I was one of the 1 million people less that did not watch it this year as compared to last year.
Yeah, the ratings were pretty abysmal.
What does that say to the Broadway community?
You know, what it says is that although ticket sales are up, people just don't watch the shows like they used to. They're not as interested in seeing them. It's only a tourist thing. It's something to do when you come to New York, but they're not interested in seeing people win awards for shows they haven't seen. I mean, ultimately, if you haven't been to New York, how much do you care about them? So they tried to make it better this year. They did a lot more musical numbers. Normally they only do a musical number from anything that's nominated for like Best Musical or Best Revival. And basically anything that was on Broadway got to do a number. It was like they trucked everybody out there.
Everybody got to call their mom and say, I'm going to be on. Watch the Tonys. So that you would have thought in itself would have increased the viewership.
At least 100 moms more.
At least 100. Come on. I'm sure I watched a lot of clips. There were a lot of chorus boys dancing.
It's true, and they even, quite controversially, did a number from a cruise ship. I don't know if you heard about this.
I didn't.
Yeah, basically, one of the cruise ship companies, one assumes, paid money for them to show a number from Hairspray that was being done on a cruise ship. And they went live from whatever the cruise ship line was, and they showed the cast doing the number. And yeah, people were sort of up in arms in the Broadway community because it was a sense of, wait, why are we promoting people going on a cruise when we want them to come to New York?
Yeah.
There was also some suggestions about union performers versus non-union performers. There's always politics. But the worst part is that the producers of the Tony show, they should have thought about it. They didn't fill the room. And so when they cut to the theater, the top balcony of the theater on the cruise was completely empty. It was as if the 10 o'clock buffet had been called and everyone went to go get their food.
Now, I know you were very happy, I'm assuming, we have not talked about this, within the first few minutes, Judith Light wins an award.
Absolutely.
And was so appreciative.
Yeah, I mean, she barely took a breath during her acceptance speech. It was pretty incredible just to see her, someone who's been in the business for a long time, probably not someone thought of as a serious actress because of her time on soaps and then on a sitcom for so long, but she's always been doing theater, and to get that kind of acknowledgement must have been incredible for her. And I think she has such a strong gay following and has been so vocal about gay issues that it's kind of great to see that right out of the gate.
All right, so we liked that. What else? Big surprises that we loved.
The biggest surprise, which you'll love, is that Sondheim got blanked. Follies, the revival of the year, easily probably the best reviewed show of the year, or at least one of them, did not win Best Revival of a Musical.
Oh.
Beat out by Porgy and Bess.
Maybe because they saw his work.
Don't even start with this again. It was amazing. If you had just gone to see that show, you might have changed your mind.
But highly doubt it because I don't like him. All right, so that was a big surprise. Were there gasps? Were you at a Tony Award-winning I don't know if the party that you were at won a Tony, but were you at a Tony viewing party?
I was with a small group of friends with some wine and nibbles, and we were making the usual snarky comments.
Nice. Well, that is a Tony Awards party. Do you think that the party that you went to should have won a Tony?
I believe we're going to make it eligible next year.
Okay.
We couldn't qualify for this year. There was some dancing. I did a little bit of my own interpretive dance, which is always my favorite.
What got you dancing at this year's Tonys?
You know, of course, the choreography for Newsies, which we discussed last time.
Yes.
They did a number. It was all those very well-built young men dancing. As someone sitting in my group said, you know, one of the things that makes the Tonys better than the Oscars? Dancer butt.
But look at that. It's like that in itself is so gay.
Thank you.
Just want to remind some people that that is the show that you're listening to. This
right.
Show is so gay. All right, so we like the dancing Newsies.
Yes, and I thought actually the actors who won the four lead categories were spot on. You really couldn't have asked for a better group.
Okay.
Audra McDonald won her fifth Tony.
She has fifth Tony?
Yeah. She has been on Broadway, I believe, 8 times. She's been eligible 8 times and has won 5.
I have to say, that's not bad.
Yeah. It's incredible, that average. I mean, that's Babe Ruth times 10 or something. I mean, not like I know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I wasn't going to call you out on that, but I was thinking pretty hard. He has no idea what he's talking about. It is like Rafael Nadal playing the French Open, if I can use something that's actually correct. And she's only 42. Do you know she's not even 42 yet? Her birthday's next week or in a few weeks. She's 41.
And how do you know that?
Because I'm looking at IMDb right now.
I thought you might be stalking her.
No, because when she thanks the person that rapes her every night in the show, it's a little scary.
Yeah, there was some talk back about that comment, but you have to understand, in the context, she just meant that these are the people she's with every night and was having some fun with how she interacts with everyone on stage.
Now, I did love, and I'm going to play it for folks right now. Can I play her shout-out to her daughter?
Wow, it was beautiful.
Wasn't that beautiful? All right, let's play that right now.
I want to thank my wee posse of three. And Zoe, my sweet little girl, I want you to know something. This is an amazing night for Mommy, but February 14th, 2001, the day you were born, is the best night ever. Never forget that. I love you. Thank you so very much. Thank you.
We love that. Isn't that nice?
It's beautiful, and also that she was there with her soon-to-be husband, Will Swenson, Broadway's Will Swenson. They are going to be married, I believe, later this year. And he was there with his, I think, two kids, and they were there with her child. And she called out to her wee posse. It was pretty special.
Love it. Now, the guy from Smash, are you watching Smash these days?
I did watch Smash. I did follow through the whole season.
Okay. And the guy from Smash who's on Broadway, whose name I have absolutely no idea.
Christian Borle.
So he won.
He did win for Best Actor in a Featured Role for a Play for Peter and the Starcatcher.
So that's pretty good.
That was good. I mean, that was one that I was predicting, and it's a really over-the-top performance. He plays Captain Hook, and it's basically he just runs around the stage for 2 hours. It's exhausting.
Now, people were saying the very, very pretty Andrew Garfield was a lock to win.
Unless you read my blog where I predicted Christian Borle.
Look at that.
Although you really, the rest of my predictions, I was so off this year.
Well, yes, let's back up a step. How did you do?
I did very poorly because I went with, I tried to be analytical instead of going with my heart, and all my heart things won. Which is such a, I really should listen to my heart.
What have we learned?
I have learned that I should listen to my heart in all things when it comes to you.
I mean, don't you think that that's a play in itself or a musical? Just someone who's forecasting Tony Awards, and they learn probably at the end of Act 1, they should have listened to their heart.
Right. Now we're really decreasing the audience for this show. It's a musical about people who write about musicals. Great.
Listen, we can't decrease the viewership anymore for the Tonys. It's okay. We'll get our moms to watch, and we'll be fine.
Yes. I have to say, though, my favorite heart moment of the night, James Corden, for One Man, Two Governors, won Best Actor in a Leading Role. This would never happen on any other. The Oscars would never give this to a man who is basically doing low comedy. He does farce. He's falling all over the stage. And he was up against Philip Seymour Hoffman from Death of a Salesman, who everyone thought was going to win. And it was just amazing because I actually think James Corden gives the performance of the year. It's very special.
Now, who did not like Philip Seymour Hoffman? Oh, wait, that's me, because I don't like him at all. So I called that one on my Broadway blog. I said that he's not going to win on the Broadway blog. I just wrote in my head. Other surprises? Disappointments. Where were you disappointed?
There weren't a lot. I think they did a really good job overall. If anything was slightly disappointing, it was that Bernadette Peters was given a special award, but they did it during the commercial break.
Huh.
It's sad. Here you have one of the legends of the industry being given sort of a lifetime award for her contributions to charity. And they did it during a commercial break and came back and just showed a picture. And you're like,
oh.
It's Bernadette Peters.
She looks so good in stills. Are you're saying, you're implying that she's very important in the Broadway community.
Look, of the 10 people watching the show, 9 of them really love Bernadette.
Okay.
So give them Bernadette.
I want to know who that last one was.
Yeah, they're just a little cranky.
There's that one guy.
Giving her for like, a, what was it, heartbeeps?
Or the person who saw her in Into the Woods.
pay.
Oh, my gosh. Them's fighting words. Yeah, we can't. We can't move beyond it. All right. So when Hugh Jackman getting an honorary award, it seems a little soon.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah, that was a ploy for ratings, I would have to say.
It didn't work.
Yeah, it clearly didn't work. You know, he just got off the plane from filming Les Mis, the movie. They stuck him on stage with his wife, and they hoped that that would bring in the Wolverine fans to watch the Tonys. But somehow that message didn't get to those X-Men fans.
It didn't happen. Yeah. It didn't happen.
Of course, we haven't talked about the big thing of the day was that Once cleaned up.
Yeah.
And a big surprise, it won 8 awards. Won pretty much everything it was up for except one. And it's kind of incredible that it won a bunch of the, like, even technical awards, which, let's be honest, Once takes place on a lovely set, but it's a single set. It's made to look like a bar.
Hmm.
And it won Best Scenic Design.
Oh. So what's that about?
They just loved that show. I mean, it was just absolutely full-on, head-over-heels love. And so people ticked it off for everything they could. I actually think it was my favorite show of the year as well. But you know, I was surprised at the depth of love that went across all categories.
So now, if you are in Newsies, so let's say for a second that you are a nubile 22-year-old dancing in Newsies.
Let's just say, can everyone just imagine that I look like that right now? Because my voice will probably make you think that.
This is fun. So let's say that that's you. What do you feel Monday morning after the Tonys?
You know, you're not feeling too bad. Alan Menken and Jack Feldman did win.
That was really good.
Which was really lovely because he's never won. He's won everything else. He's won Oscars. He's won, I believe, Emmys. He's one of those EGOTs now, finally, because he has a Tony. It was lovely to see him win. I think that you just look at it and say, you're selling tickets like crazy. It's going to run for a long time. It's going to be a show that has a commercial life. And it's good to be a part of it.
I will tell you, I have told people, when I have talked about Newsies, which has been often, I have said to people, well, I had Tom Iser, editor of the Broadway blog, and he said that that show is here to stay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely going to be around for a good couple of years.
Unlike the rest of your Tony predictions, please don't prove me wrong on that.
You promise to have me back in 2 years and we'll see if Newsies is on?
We'll see. We'll see if we still have this show. But if we do, yes, we will see if Newsies is still on. What was the speech that you would say was just so gay?
The gayest speech? You know what? That was the sad thing about the show. That's what I'm most disappointed about. Normally within 5 minutes, someone has thanked their gay lover. That's what you count on with the Tonys.
Okay, let's pause for a second. I don't think anyone gets up there and says, I'd like to thank my gay lover for supporting me.
They do.
They thank their partner.
Yeah, I've heard lover, I've heard partner.
The man beneath their wings.
Exactly.
I don't think I've ever heard that.
Associate. That's what I prefer.
We're writing a whole new... Is there a room in the Broadway market for a musical about a gay radio show in Vermont?
There's always room for that.
Is there really room, though, in the market? I don't mean just for that specific idea, but I guess let's even back up a step more, because I love just talking generally about Broadway with you. How easy is it to get a show on Broadway?
Do you have an hour to talk about this?
Now, if we could somehow filter out your bitterness and give an answer without that, that'd be awesome.
It takes a long time.
Most
shows take... If it's an original show, it can take 5-6 years. Even if it's someone who is at the top of the game, it doesn't mean that you're going to get a show. Book of Mormon, written by, you know, two people who have won were nominated for Oscars for the South Park movie.
Right.
South Park's a huge hit. They have a huge fan base. Their co-writer wrote Avenue Q, a long-running hit, and that show took 5 or 6 years to develop. It just doesn't happen overnight. But the one thing in your favor...
So this show is so gay, the musical. Oh, tell me what's in my favor.
Is that with the win from Once, which is a smaller scale show, more creatively exciting, kind of pushing the boundaries, I think there's going to be a turn toward encouraging shows that have that kind of smaller scale qualities to Broadway. In fact, within the last couple months, they've announced a show called Hands on a Hard Body.
No joke. Isn't that Newsies?
Oh, let me get my leg warmers. It's based on a movie as well, but a documentary about a contest where people have had to keep their hands on a truck in Texas, and the last one to take left with their hands on won the truck, and it's been turned into a musical. go figure, people standing with their hands on a truck.
Huh.
And it just had a big opening in La Jolla, did very well, and they've already announced it's going to play on Broadway in the next season. That's a show that, on paper, certainly, is small scale, intimate, does not have a chandelier falling on the audience, and yet it's getting a Broadway slot. And I think that Once has paved the way. Certainly some other shows have paved the way for that as well, but there's room now for that kind of show. So maybe...
You can't see me because it's radio, but my jaw is on the floor that that's the plot of this. And it's getting good reviews there in its regional...
It got very good reviews. It's written by Doug Wright, who playwright, famous playwright who's won many, won a Tony. I can't remember the shows that he won the Tony for. Amanda Green and one of the songwriters, members of Phish, for any of you Phish heads out there, or whatever they call the people who tour.
No, they're Phish heads.
And the musical opened. It got really good reviews. You know, some comments about what could be made stronger to before it moves on.
But how about the plot?
One of the questions was that it needed a little bit of oomph.
You think?
Supposedly it's really moving.
The truck sing?
The truck dances.
The truck. Please say you're serious.
I am sort of serious. The truck is, I believe, on some sort of turntable. From what I've heard, I haven't seen the show, and it moves so that the truck is dancing. And the choreography is by Benjamin, what's his last name? He is
Natalie Portman. Yeah, Benjamin Millepied.
Yeah. He did the choreography.
Look at
people
that.
With their hands on a truck.
Huh. I feel like I'm just going to look around the room right now and look for stuff to write a musical, but there's a plant in the corner. What if it was a talking plant that ate people?
Oh, one of my favorite shows of all time.
It's the best.
Already done.
Oh, well.
Already done.
All right. I'll look for other ideas. Yeah. South Pacific? Is that? It's been done.
We can't talk about, I'm sorry to bring us back to the Tonys for a second, but we can't talk about the Tonys without talking about the most emotional, probably the highlight of the night in terms of speeches.
Go for it.
The lead from Once, Steve Kazee, who has been a jobbing actor, working his way around, but never had that role to sort of push him over the top. Here he is, the lead of Once. He wins for best actor in a musical, but his mother passed away about 2 months ago. And he gave... See, I'm even tearing up thinking about it.
Oh. All right, you want to play some of that?
Play just a little bit.
All right, we'll play a little bit of that.
I want to say thank you to my cast and to my beautiful leading lady who has held me up for the past 2 months. My mother passed on Easter Sunday, and I came back to the show, and this cast has carried me around and made me feel alive. And I will never be able to fully repay them. And they haven't been mentioned here tonight. And I'm telling you that this ensemble and this woman are some of the most talented and most wonderful people I've ever worked with in my life. And my mother told me once to, she always told me before shows to stand up there and show them whose little boy you are. And I'm showing you today that I am the son of Kathy Withrow Kazee, who lost a fight with cancer on Easter Sunday this year. And I miss you every day. And I feel you here with me tonight. And I love you all so much. And thank you for this this award. Thank you.
And now we all need tissues.
We do.
We do. All
and
right.
We want to marry him.
And we want to thank him as our gay lover.
He needs a hug right now, and I'm just the person to do it.
Your volunteerism for the entire Broadway community is hereby noted.
It's that spirit that keeps the theater community a tight family.
Well, I think that you have a good shot, though, at giving him that hug, because you would think, all right, well, there were all these people who watched the Tonys and want to hug him, but it turns out there weren't that many people who watched the Tonys.
You're going to keep rubbing that in, making me feel like I'm part of some sort of strange little minority group.
I'm lighting a fire. Yes, we like to. Well, I think group is a weird word. I would certainly more say cult. And so maybe it lights a fire for you and the rest of your cult to really distance yourself from your families and get more people in the cult.
And start wearing sort of interesting robes.
Oh, so that's like Newsies.
Yeah.
There you go.
Robes.
I will tell you, and I hate bringing this up, but I'm, obviously bringing it up. So I was visiting my parents, Barry and Terry, there in New Jersey last week when I got back from China, and I was too jet lagged to drive. And my mom got one of those offers through her email, and she wants to take, she loves taking the grandkids, any of the 7 grandkids or as many as possible to Broadway shows. And I'm sure I told you, I was extraordinarily fortunate growing up that my mom was Broadway and is Broadway obsessed. And so we went to tons and tons and tons of shows that you've never heard of. I feel shows I could say that you, Tom, have never heard of.
I don't doubt it. I grew up in a family where my parents called it drama.
Isn't that what you take on the boat to not get seasick?
I think
it might be. I'll look that up during the break. But she got an email promoting Newsies, and so she called to get tickets for Newsies, and ultimately she got them. But my God, I can't believe how expensive it was.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about one of the hit shows that's selling well, they're charging a premium. And you have to sort of work your way around, decide whether you're willing to risk it, go on Tuesday nights. That's going to be your best night to get a cheaper ticket.
Get to bring one home?
One of the Newsies?
Your pick. You can take either Andrew one. Or you could take Keenan or you could take Bulger. You could take one of them home with you.
I believe I'll take the Bulger.
Okay. Pushing the limits of public radio is the editor
That's
of the Broadway
name.
Blog.
That's his name.
Very cute pictures of the Keenan Bulger family there on the Facebook, so folks
Adorable.
Can check those out.
Adorable.
All right, so now you have a whole Tony post that people can go and read?
Absolutely, on thebroadwayblog.com.
Thebroadwayblog.com. What happens next? What are we looking for next? Broadway season's over. The Tonys happened.
Exactly, but it's already ratcheting up again. Not to mention that we've got Broadway Bears coming up.
Oh, that's right.
And we've got shows opening already in the summer, which is unusual. Bring It On. That lovely musical based on the movie about cheerleaders.
I have to end this interview because I usually end interviews if I think the guest is putting me on, and yet I'm nervous you're being serious.
I'm absolutely serious. Bring It On, the musical. It has been touring the country, and it is coming in for a short visit to Broadway. It's coming in for a 2 or 3 month stay, unless it's a huge hit, and of course they'll sit it down, but they're just saying it's for a limited run. That's opening, I believe, in August. Harvey, starring...
Oh, I love Harvey.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
I've never seen the play or the movie.
Seen both. And there have been times that I've been on dates and I've thought, oh, God, I wish there were just a big rabbit here right now. So it's happened.
I'm sure that would go over very well with the date.
I usually don't mention it out loud, usually.
Good.
But it's code. And it's also not. All right, so that's coming out.
That's coming with Jim Parsons, out actor from Big Bang Theory, starring in it.
Love him.
That opens in, I think, the next couple weeks, next 2 weeks. And then the season starts in earnest. The revival of Annie. You have a musical based on the life of Chaplin and an adaptation of Rebecca, the Hitchcock film and the Daphne du Maurier novel coming up.
Wow. All right, so we got a lot coming up. Hey, can you say the biggest Tony snub ever in the history of the Tonys? What jumps out at you? Only because I have an answer to this.
Bring it on, then. Tell me.
I think, well, it's a Tony snub as in she wasn't nominated and she should have won. I really believe this. Anne Harada from Avenue Q, who everyone said was going to win the Tony, and it turned out she wasn't even nominated.
That's crazy. I did not remember that she was not even nominated.
She played Christmas Eve. She was fantastic.
She's actually a friend of a friend.
Look at
I
that.
Say a friend of mine. I don't want to push that, but I speak to her once in a while, and she's amazing. And
she's
wonderful.
Amazing. And she was in. She's in. She was in the seminal musical of our time, Seussical. She was actually in
and
that.
And she's also on Smash, if you've not noticed.
I saw the first episode, and I'm like, I'm done.
She plays the stage manager. She walks around and says, places.
Oh, look at that. That's essentially all she does in Seussical.
I have the snub for you, though.
Tell me.
Here it is, and you are gonna hate that I say this, but it's true. Classic snub of all time. Best musical, La Cage aux Folles, over Sunday in the Park with George. People still to this day talk about that. It won the Pulitzer, Sunday in the Park with George.
Yeah, but the problem is Sondheim. No, that's
Barry
all I had.
He walked up on stage, and when he won, he said something about, well, see, people do want hummable melodies or something like that. You can look up the quote. And people were sort of aghast that he would slam Sondheim so directly. So
Because Sondheim's not hummable, and people do want hummable melodies. I stand by that quote. In fact, I'm going to start taking credit for it and put it up on my Facebook that people want hummable melodies, and I just want an anti-Sondheim. I can't possibly be the first person you've met that does not like Sondheim.
Yes, you are the first person I've met that doesn't like Sondheim.
That's not true.
For our purposes, I'm going to say it's true.
My people outnumber your people.
Well, that's because they don't know who Sondheim is.
Yeah, all right, fine.
Because there's only a million people watching the Tonys.
Everyone go over to... But it would be okay if those million people who did not watch the Tonys, if those million people would go over to thebroadwayblog.com and read all about what happened.
Beautifully done.
Nice, right?
That's why you get the big bucks.
Yeah. Please send me money. All right, folks, that is Tom Meiser, editor of the Broadway blog, thebroadwayblog.com. Stroll on over there straight away. Tom, always a pleasure. Until next year's Tonys.
Thank you so much. Can't wait.
All right.
And that wraps things up for this week's episode. Tune in next week. We have a new show coming at you with singer-songwriter Naj. Jody will be back. We'll talk about the gay news. We haven't talked about the gay news in forever. Thank you so much to all of our new listeners. Thank you so much for liking the Facebook page, sending emails on over to ken@thisshowissogay.com. Your support is enormously appreciative. But until next week, get out there. Go do some incredible, incredible things. Use your voice the best way you know how to make a difference. And while you're doing it, hey, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
My cat is magical, and I'm not the type to believe in new age hype, no. My cat is mystical. In order to believe it, you'd really have to see it. Late at night, he meows so loud, desperate in his way to say, here I am, I'm here, I am. See me, see I'm here. Love me, love me, love me now. Other abandoned kitties. Late at night, he meows so loud, desperate in his way to say, attacking rugs and strings and water bugs and things. But when he hears a thump like a footstep or a bump, he'll run and hide all day, forgetting how to play, remembering back when they'd scream.